an individual effort creates a collective consciousness, but it's insufficient to address the problem. And so there's actually a whole section where we talk about, you know, the political climate and the people climate, because we can't talk about climate change or migration without talking about the people or the politics, right?
Yeah.
So it's bringing it all together, and it's really heavy and it's really hard. And like, I presented it to a team in Minnesota, and halfway through I had to say, like, Kim, let's just take a breather. Like, let's just take a moment, because this is really heavy stuff. And I'm really lucky that I'm, you know, I've practiced that enough to be able to create that moment and space for people to feel it, see it, and sit with it for a moment, and also like collect yourself back, because that's important, because you can't learn if you don't feel safe.
What's going on, everyone? I'm your host, Kevin Munoz, and I know you're probably thinking, Kevin, aren't you supposed to be working on season 3 of the podcast? Well, to answer your question, I have been. I put out an awesome investing guide on my Patreon and on the website, and I've already got the tech segment cover photo done for season 3, which I am so looking forward to, because I love to talk tech and I want to learn as much about it and share with you guys as well. So I hope that you enjoy that in season 3. But anyways, I bring you this bonus episode because it's also so hard to stay away from all of you without, you know, putting out like new episodes all the time, which is why today I have the pleasure to bring you this bonus episode with the one and only host of A Shot of Truth podcast, Victoria Matei Mendoza. She/her is a queer undocumented digital creator based in Washington. She has been speaking for 8 years on immigration topics and started A Shot of Truth podcast to connect with others and to heal through dialogue. Her vision is to reimagine a society without borders and cages by pushing for a collective shift in consciousness. Hope you loved the episode as much as I enjoyed recording it. Welcome to the Lail podcast. So with me today is Vicky Matei. Tell us where you're from.
I am from Bellingham, Washington, which is a border city in Washington state. I live about 30 minutes from Canada. And I always like telling people that because there's never any conversation about what is happening with the northern border.
All right. And what's some of the work that you do, and introduce us to you, to your life and how you came about the A Shot of Truth podcast?
Well, before I do that, I want to say that you and I just found out that we released our first episodes on the same day.
I know, that's wild. I didn't know that till you brought it up to my attention. And I think that's just crazy how the universe works.
I know, right? I didn't even like remember that it was that day. And then I saw your 1 year post, which, by the way, congratulations. Well,
thank you. And congratulations to you too for another year.
It was so weird to get that message and be like, whoa, like that totally was when we released. And I always call you our sister podcast. So,
I mean, you are the sister podcast. we're always exchanging ideas and everything, you know.
I know, people should know that I hit you up like pretty consistently. I'm always like, Kevin, this.
Oh,
Kevin,
yeah.
That.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we go back and forth. We're like, oh, we just talk about like each other's episodes too. We're like, oh, that's great. Oh, yeah. Like, that
I know, you're awesome, the best. You know?
I love interacting with people, and especially a person like yourself who's so open to it.
Oh, you're so sweet. So, to tell you a little bit about myself, I am a creative person, a spiritual person, a very emotionally driven person. I'm working through that. I'm also the host of Shot of Truth podcast, a speaker and entrepreneur, trying to like figure out my role in the world and also like find the motivation to create and build, which I've been doing for the last 3 years and I absolutely love doing. I don't know. What else can I say? Oh, I love cooking. I love dancing and I love lifting weights. That's like, those are like my favorite things to do when I'm stressed or just relaxing.
Vicky, you know what I love about you is, I went on your website and I went to the about you. And the thing that I loved so much was the part where it said that, you love you love creating stuff. And like you said, that you're a content creator and you want to create things till you're like 70 years old someday. And, you know, like, I love that so much because it just speaks volumes to how dedicated you are to your work. Right. And I wanted to know, like, what motivates you to do the type of work that you do? And when did you know that's what you wanted to do till you were 70?
Well, I don't know that I want to be a podcast host till I'm 70, but I definitely want to be like working with folks like yourself, like for a long time, right? Like, I want people to know that I'm committed to the work that I'm doing, that I love doing it. And, you know, I really started as a speaker. I was presenting at like local conferences. I was working with local teams and stuff on like undocumented issues here in Bellingham. And I was like, man, so many people like need to learn these things, but like don't. And like, here I am in this role and I have the opportunity to do so. So I took it and ran with it. It was actually like an idea of one of my mentors at the time. It was not my idea at the time. And once I started doing that, it just kind of grew and grew and grew. And I saw that there was power in taking the microphone, in, you know, telling folks like, whoa, like, yes, we can look at policies and shit, but what about this? Like, I'm human. Look at that. And let's look at things from that perspective at large. So that's really what inspired me, was working with people. And I've been doing that for so, so long, Kevin. It's unreal.
I saw that. You've been doing it for years. I wanted to ask you though, like, because you said that there's power in taking the microphone, and I'm totally with you. That's something that I resonate with. And I found out myself, just being like an immigrant, I was, you know how it is that with both of us, it's hard to speak out, and a podcast and just doing like public speaking really empowers. I feel like it really empowers you. How did you get comfortable with doing like talks and just public speaking? Because that's something that I'm only, while I might come off as comfortable, right? Like I'm still working through with myself, right? To get comfortable in that.
In that? Well, yeah. I remember being like in first grade or something and having to go in front of the class to present something. And I'm like, you know, a first generation student. I always grew up in like predominantly white areas, which is like really weird. And like, I remember being in front of the class and being so terrified. Like, I remember that feeling so deeply in that moment. And I remember deciding like I wanted to be better at that and work on that, which is so weird, right? It kind of like came to me like even as a thought at a really young age.
Right.
But it was really just practice and putting myself out there. Like when I think back to my first presentation ever, when I started my speaking career, I like cringe, right? but you just get better at it and you just adapt. And like, I was the MC for an event yesterday and someone came up to me and they were just like, the way you just talk to people, like, I don't, like, how do you do it? And I'm just like, I was literally reading off a screen. I have no idea, but it's just like, I feel like my authenticity just flows in and out of me. And like with that comes so much power too, right? Mm-hmm. So I think it's just like practice and it fuels me. Like I genuinely love doing it. And I remember deciding that if I could conquer this fear of public speaking, I could conquer anything, because more people fear public speaking than like death.
But yes, I think I read that somewhere too.
But I also like am terrible. Like I still get nervous, you know, like I have my routine, like I get a little nauseous. I need to like back away, not talk to anybody beforehand. It's a whole thing. So don't let me fool you. I'm still nervous and shy.
Well, you look very powerful. When I looked at your like your TED Talks, you look so powerful up there. And I want to get a little bit more into those. But before all that, I just wanted to know, like, What are some of the challenges that you faced as an undocumented person in the United States throughout your life, and how you overcame these challenges, which I would think like ultimately led up to the type of work that you do now, right?
Right. I think like a really, really big one is like the financial challenge that we face as immigrants and having to navigate a system that doesn't necessarily include us in their systemic support, whatever. And I think just like witnessing like how much my parents worked, like both of them working two jobs each, Like, I remember my childhood being so lonely. Like, I feel like my sister and I were those kids that were home alone and shouldn't have been home alone because we were so young, you know? Like, I remember having babysitters that like were really abusive and awful. Like, I think, you know, my deepest lows were really like how lonely I was as a kid. And coming to like realize that like a way out of that was like putting myself out there and trying to build friendships and engage with people. But that became a challenge too, because I was in a predominantly white area, right? Where it was very clear that we were different, whether it was the way that we dress, whether it's like the school supplies we had, you know, all, everything. There was just so many things that were very apparent. I felt like I didn't really have community until I came to college, you know, and then there's those higher ed barriers, the like self-doubt and like feeling of like, you know, being kind of like unmotivated by being held by all these things that you have to carry, right? Like I said, I'm a really emotional person, so I feel
It's
like my
okay. I
emotions,
feel the emotions too. I'm with
yeah,
you.
like
I'm with you.
my emotions alone were a fucking challenge, right? I didn't have the support that I needed to get like therapy, and I still don't, right? To kind of move through some of these pieces. So there was a lot of challenges.
How did that lead up to like the work that you're doing today? You said that it's just empowering and then sharing the type of events that you've also been through with other people, right? I feel like that's also to me the inspirational part as well, in your podcast and your work, because you know I hear it in your voice. I hear it even now just how passionate you are, and like you don't get that from everyone, because that's just it just shows to the type of character that you have as well, and I admire
Oh, Kevin, you're so sweet.
that
I definitely am really passionate. And I don't know, you know, I'm fueled by people like you. I'm fueled by building work. I'm fueled by like creating with other people. Like that's really what I love doing. And it's so easy to talk to you too, because like I said, we've been talking back and forth for months about so much stuff. But it came to really affecting and impacting my work, because once I found community, nobody could take that from me.
Yes,
Once I
that's
found
true.
community, it was a whole other experience, right? And even though like at first creating this podcast was a way to kind of like spread and kind of like build more accessibility with the work that and conversations I was having with people and building, et cetera. But then it was like, it became this network of community members that just wanted to have a conversation that other people got to hear and also get some sort of resolution from, or connection from, or healing from. And to me, that's really special. So it really came into like where I could hand off the mic too, you know? This shit is not just about me. Like it's so much more about highlighting other people and like how we can move through pieces together, because I really, really believe that it's a collective liberation, and that's important.
A collective liberation, indeed. You know what's interesting that you highlight the community aspect of it, because we're all very community like oriented, you know, just it's in our nature, I would say. And what's interesting to me, and you resonate as well, like because you mentioned, I would think, is how like when I first started my podcast as well, and the work, you know, is just how I find that like strangers are almost even like more willing to like follow you, like the work that you do, and like support you sometimes more than your own friends or your own family. And I just think that's beautiful, because that just really highlights like the community aspect that you're talking about.
You know that meme that says like nobody supports you more than that online friend you have? Like that is so us, to be honest. So
Absolutely, absolutely.
I love it.
But Vicky, I wanted to now move on to your TED Talks, because you're such a, like I said, you're such a brave, you're a powerful, confident, intelligent person, which as I mentioned, you portray all this not only in your everyday life, but also through your talks. And I want you to specifically concentrate on you gave two TED Talks, right? So I wanted to ask you what a bit more about the subjects of those TED Talks, and how that came to fruition as well.
Yeah. So when I started talking, it was so much more about like what was happening politically in the moment and like what I was experiencing. And it was really kind of like a perspective and what was happening and explaining it to people. And as time evolved, I was like, no, I need to be talking about other things. Like there's so much more to talk about here and people aren't having those conversations. And so I stopped talking about, you know, I still bring a lot of myself, which is the way that I talk and present myself and stuff. But like, I stopped talking about myself. Like I was like, my dreamer story, whatever the fuck, I hate that language. Like, I'm not talking about that. Like, I want to talk about systemic racism. I want to talk about how these parallels exist in our everyday lives.
Yes.
And how every single one of us has a role in it. And we have to see ourselves as part of the solution. Like so often we see ourselves as part of the problem, but not part of the solution. Like that part of the equation isn't there. And so I was like, how do I make people feel like they're a part of this? And so I started talking about other things. And one of them was the parallels of mass incarceration and mass detention. Another one that I just started up is climate change and migration, which again, like, is changing my perspective and the way that I view the world.
I want to dive into that some more, but I'll let you keep mentioning the other ones because I thought that was so interesting.
Yeah. And there's so much research about it too. Mm. So I'm like, I want to pull my hair out that people aren't talking about it. And so that's kind of like why I started talking about these different topics. Another topic I do is the criminalization, exploitation, and disposal of immigrants. And I really talk about that. I talk about like, you know, the criminalization in the media, in politics, in the way people are portrayed, you know, the exploitation of this undocumented workforce, the exploitation of H2A workers, like all these folks that are being exploited by a system that knows they're here, has created systems, very difficult systems, right? But they know they're here. And like, I wanted to talk about the exploitation of like bodies and labor and incarceration and just so many things. And so I was just like, let's just brain dump. And I started talking to professors. Like I started talking to professors that like knew about this stuff and we would build together. Like I need to say that first and foremost, none of the work that I've done has been on my own. I always consult with professors. Like I look up to people that have already done the research. I work with other people to present these presentations. You know, in terms of like the parallels of mass incarceration, mass detention, like I've never been incarcerated. So I brought someone on that is formerly incarcerated and does a lot of work with reentry. And so, you know, him and I were able to draft and create this experience about the parallels. It's an experience. It's an educational one. And it's one where we also give people, again, the opportunity to feel like they are a part of it and take ownership to that. Yeah, so that's kind of like a huge kind of explanation of all that.
How do you connect with people to stay on top of everything? Because as you mentioned, right, you do speak with professors and you bring on other people. How do you find like either guests or other people to work with? Because you have worked with a lot of people.
Honestly, I just message people over social media and I'm just like, hey, like I've been watching your work. I love it. Would you love to like have a like Zoom call and just see if there's an opportunity for us to collaborate? And like, I've also been lucky to just be in like the right space at the right time where there's a lot of folks. You know, when I started my podcast, I was a part of an undocumented cohort. And so I got to like interview people from there and I still interview people from there.
Yeah.
Right now I'm in another cohort where there's some folks that are undocumented and they're just launching their like work and stuff. And I'm like, I want to uplift that. So people are just like, honestly, I feel like I invite a lot of people just like openly, like if you want to record sometime, hit me up. So honestly, it's just like, one, I just love doing it. And two, it's just, I love seeing something start and finish and I love making it fun. So, and I know you probably do too. Like it's fun to like present somebody with the interview you had for them and built with them. Like it's so magical. So.
And the best part is you learn so much from just like, that's the one thing I always say is I learned the most, like just from speaking with people and just how they operate and like picking at their brains, you know?
I mean, like that alone changed my entire being, like the way that I thought, the way that I interacted with people. I say this multiple times, but I used to be like a very angry, standoffish person. And I can be in that and when I'm like in a survival mode setting and stuff, but like I've learned to have so much compassion and love for people and less judgment, right? Which really helped me just heal through a lot of things too.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So let's dive into or give us a little sneak peek, because I know it's like one of your workshops that you do, right? And you briefly mentioned the climate change and migration, because I think that's such a big topic right now. And you know, you're combining climate change with migration, two things that maybe some people wouldn't think that go together, but it really does, right? So tell us a little bit about what that workshop's about, how you came about combining those two, and yeah, just inform us.
Yeah, so it's so funny because there's so much research on climate change and migration, and you know, we often talk about climate change as like something that's happening in the future, but it's very much so happening right now and already displacing people all over the world. I think what is really like something that I'm pushing myself and trying to hold myself accountable to is to not just talk about the United States because that's not, you know, that's not going to give us the full picture or anything, right? We have to look at things at a global perspective. And this really kind of opened my eyes to that. We have to be looking at immigration and migration as a global perspective. We have to be seeing the parallels of how these things impact us in our everyday like life, right? You know, a little sneak peek about it is like this stuff is already happening. Like there's so many countries that have been exploited for their resources. And just left to fend for themselves. Like, for example, in Nigeria with the oil companies, right? They went, they destroyed the lands. The lands were no longer inhabitable. And now these people are stuck there. Like, these people don't have the support or resources they need to like survive or to live because the oil companies came in and ruined their land. And this is happening literally all over the world. It's happening here in the United States as well. So I think again, there's so many layers to this conversation, and you can't have it without talking about race. You can't have it without talking about class. There's so many things to talk about in terms of it. And I think it's something people fear to talk about.
Oh yeah, I feel like it two sense even now, like two sensitive topics, right? You mentioned like climate change, people go one way or lean or the other. You mentioned migration, and it's same thing, right? One or the other. And that's why I think that is an amazing workshop that you have there to educate people on the fact that it is a global crisis, and it most of all, it's a collective thing, right? You can't change, like the whole thing about climate change is you can't help the world if we're not like united to help it, you know, because we've all collectively destroyed it, you know, so the best thing we can do is collectively heal it.
Right. And the way that we address it in the presentation is like an individual effort creates a collective consciousness, but it's insufficient to address the problem. And so there's actually a whole section where we talk about, you know, the political climate and the people climate, because we can't talk about climate change or migration without talking about the people or the politics, right? So it's bringing it all together, and it's really heavy and it's really hard. And like I presented it to a team in Minnesota, and halfway through I had to say like, Ken, let's just take a breather. Like let's just take a moment, because this is really heavy stuff. And I'm really lucky that I'm, you know, I've practiced that enough to be able to create that moment and space for people to feel it, see it, and sit with it for a moment, and also like collect yourself back, because that's important, because you can't learn if you don't feel safe.
Wow, I love that. You're such a professional, Vicky.
Oh my gosh, I love that you say
Which
that, because I'm like in my room, like you're so funny. I didn't even brush my hair.
you are. It's not about how you. It's not about that. It's about the information you give and all the knowledge that you're willing to share and inform us with, you know. Is there any other like workshop that that you wanted to highlight. That's one that stood out to me, but I also, like you said, I also like, I like the parallel of mass incarcerations and mass detention, which was that you said it was that that's an extension of your TED Talks.
Yeah. So that's an extension of my TED Talk. And one of the reasons I did that topic in particular was because I was dating somebody for a period of time that was formerly incarcerated. And him and I would always talk about like, damn, like we both can't leave the country. We both can't vote. We both have barriers in terms of employment. We both have barriers in terms of higher education. Like there's, you know, we're criminalized at the viewpoint of society, like all these things. And we were like, wait a second, like there's something here. And so this guy and I were still homies. We decided to kind of build this presentation about it and start talking about it. And his name's Steven Simmons, and he's super amazing. And does a lot of really amazing local work here in Washington as well in terms of reentry and supporting formerly incarcerated folks. But yeah, it was really about like, where can we connect the pieces? And like, first acknowledging that there's no synergy. Like first acknowledging that there's no synergy between the movements. And also acknowledging the impacts of the media, the historical point we're in, how you can clearly see like the parallels, even when you look back at US history, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. So we were able to build this presentation that highlighted these parallels and also brought a story together. And we do tell people like we built this presentation based off meeting each other, based off connecting and seeing that this exists. So it's pretty sweet. Check it out.
I like it. I'll have all these. I'll name them as well in like the descriptions. So transitioning from that, but still kind of related, right? I wanted to know your relationship with money and how you view it, right? Just how is it a healthy relationship? Has it always been a healthy relationship? Because and you know me, and I like to talk about finance. That's just I'm a finance guy, but above all, you know, I'm an immigrant and above all these other things. But so I like to relate that to a lot because money's just related to everything, in my opinion.
Right.
And I like to ask that to people. So.
Right. So what I can tell you is that I probably have a healthier relationship money than most of my friends and people that I associate with, but it could be better. I think that something that has come up for me a lot recently is that I have a lot of money wounds, like a lot of things.
You hear Paloma? Sorry.
I hear Paloma.
Yeah. I know who she's barking at.
Hey, girl.
All right. No, all right, go ahead. Money wounds. Yes.
Money wounds. Like, you know, when this term was introduced to me by Maidali, like I started really seeing, you know, like where my money wounds were. And a lot of them were really tied to self-doubt and limiting beliefs and all these things that like, it was so clear was the reason why I couldn't build a healthy relationship with money. Do I think I have it figured out? Fuck no. I'm an entrepreneur, you know, making things ends meet, like trying to figure it out. But what has really encouraged me is working with people like you and Alejandra, right? Like Alejandra literally freaking inspired me to invest money and is literally the reason I have my shit together right now, you know? Like,
wow.
Like, seriously.
I hope she hears that.
I hope she hears that. Yeah, right? Yeah. Like, I'm literally influenced and inspired by y'all to figure it out, to learn about it, to talk about it. And I'm confronting, you know, a lot of things that like, you know, I can't tie my value to money. You know, and like having to confront those things. And I think that's so important. But I will say it could be better.
Why do you say that?
I say that because I'm such a hedonist, which is so awful, right? But like if I want something, like I will like literally convince myself I need it and get it, you know? And I feel like there's ways that I could like. And honestly, my mom does shop. My mom's such a like shopping therapist person. And I feel like I adopted that from her. So like, I feel like I could manage my budgeting and expenses better. but I'm working on it. And I'm using your amazing interactive guide that you sent me.
Thank you.
Literally, I learn from people like you. So thank you for holding me accountable.
Oh, of course. I mean, we learn from each other, right? That's what it's about. I like to ask that question because, like, sometimes people always view money as like the root of all evil, which, yes, right, it does have its, like, of course it's it can be used for like evil things, but I think it's always the people behind it that are the evil ones. And oftentimes, like, people view, I want to talk about like capitalism because it's such a like a touchy, you know, it's such a touchy subject, because like I think that there's an inequality, of course, because capitalism has created inequality. And I wanted to get your opinion on that as well, on just the inequality that exists within the US and capitalism.
Well, I'm definitely one of those people that blames capitalism and the patriarchy for fucking everything. But, you know, like, even, you know, as immigrants,
rightfully.
Yeah. And I mean, as immigrants, we experience like the systemic barriers, finance, like everything. Right. And so, like, it's hard to build a healthy relationship with money because there is a lot of resentment towards it. Like, I am very, I am an anti-capitalist, but also an entrepreneur, also somebody that has investments. Right. So like, how do I juggle all that?
That's
like
what I wanted to ask you.
It's such a conflict.
And I'm, you know, it's such a conflict. And like, how do you navigate that? That's
right.
That's what I was getting at. But I think it was hard to like phrase it, you know?
Yeah. You navigate it with consciousness, and you know, I'm rethinking a lot of stuff too. And you learn as you go, and it's so hard, right? Wanting to build this generational wealth and security for yourself, security that you may have never had. And like, also noticing like, right, the inequity, the fucking shit pay that people get for doing labor intensive work, for feeding us. Fuck. So like, it's hard, Kevin. And I think a lot of people would say the same thing, is like, we want money, we need it. And also like, what other systems, what other things can we reimagine in society that would work? And I don't know the answer to that. I don't know the answer to that.
That's a great answer to begin with. And I just think that the way I view it is, in order, and the way this is how I started on my money journey as well, is like, if you want to change the system, right, you first have to, you have to be part of it to learn how it works. And then you know how and what needs to be changed. Like, is that something that you kind of agree with?
Yes and no. So yes, in terms of like, that's kind of our only option.
Yeah.
And no, in terms of, I interviewed somebody, oh, I fucking love her. Her name's Nancy. And she left the US because she was tired of being in deportation proceedings. She was tired of suffering in this country. And she moved to Canada. And she always says, and this is a quote from somebody, but of like, you can't, you know, destroy the master in the master's house. Like, you will never have, like, and that just like really resonated with me, because it is a reminder of that. Like, I don't think we'll see the fall of capitalism or the fall of patriarchy in our lifetime. What I do think we'll see in our lifetime is really immense climate change and migration, but that's a different story.
Yeah. So, you know what I've seen a lot, actually, is a lot of people, I've heard more than I think I should. Like, I hear a lot of people that just leave the US and go to Canada. I think that just, I only started seeing more people doing that when I started like my podcast and became more into the community, right? And I think that just kind of highlighted the frustration that we face as immigrants with trying to change the system, to trying to just have like basic rights. What's one way that you deal with just all the things that are going on in the world, for your mental health, right? You know, that's something that we immigrants have to have very like in check, because we deal with a lot and things change day to day, as you know.
So, like I mentioned earlier, I'm like a really, really emotional person. And so sometimes my emotions take up more energy than I really should be like giving to them, you know? And so I feel like I discovered probably like, I don't know, sometime in high, no, in middle school, I discovered that I could release a lot of my frustrations and stuff physically. And so I joined the wrestling team.
I didn't know
And
you did wrestling.
yeah, so I wrestled for
Wow.
3 years of my life, joined the tennis team, started seeing that like these forms of moving my body and engaging in physical activity and stuff like were really helping me process emotions and feelings. And to this day, I love working out. It's one of my biggest priorities in my life is to take care and move my body because it really just helps me stabilize myself. Otherwise, like I don't think that I would be as happy or as excited, you know, like
Yeah, absolutely. No, I'm with you on that. And then transitioning into the work that you do, how do you stay up to date with with just like what's going on every day, and just translating that to for like people to understand as well? Because I have to take it by like bits, you know. There's so much news, and it's just it could be overwhelming at times.
yeah, and I think that's so hard, right? Because so many people turn to platforms like ours to look for information. And I don't, you know, we don't have legal teams that build these things for us. We don't have like all these things. And so I turn to like the larger organizations to look to what's going on, how to share that info. Also, like sometimes I choose to like not deal with it in the moment. Like I acknowledge it and I'm like, I don't know if I want to share this yet. Like I'm gonna let some more like information come out about it. And do some more research on it, but it's difficult to keep up with. And I also think there's an expectation, right? And I think another thing is like just being really honest about like where you're at with things. Like I think, you know, one of the interviews I did was about like what was happening in Afghanistan, and I didn't necessarily know what was happening like to the extent that somebody else would, but I was vulnerable about that. I was like, I'm here to connect the parallels and learn more, just like you are.
Wow. I love that. You're willing to learn, right? That's the biggest thing. And I think that's something that we also just sometimes if you're not willing to learn, like you're just not gonna like that's just how it is, right? One of the funny questions I like to ask is like, do you ever think like we'll see a world with like open borders? What is your perspective on, because I know you've been to, you live in like a border city and you've been to the border as well, that I know of, right? From like previous podcasts that I've listened that you've been on.
So it's really difficult to answer this question because I believe that we need to start talking into the future as if as we want to, you know, see it. And so, you know, a lot of the launching I just did was really around like we aim to create spaces where we can look at the parallels and systemic issues of immigration, and we also want to reimagine what a world will look like without cages and borders. Do I think we're there yet? No, I don't think we're anywhere near close to that. I also fear, you know, like how does this work, you know, when there's already global power, where there's already unbalanced power dynamics, where there's already, you know, places that have been completely exploited and disposed of, like how does it work? You know, who has control? Who decides? How do things break down? And I think those are the questions that come up for me when I think of that. You know, how I reimagine it happening, I reimagine it happening like building different, you know, collectives, building different like structures that work for the people that are there, that exist within it. Do I think that I could, you know, build such community or collective or structural foundation? Not on my own, right? Not on my own. And so I guess I ask, you know, when we think about what a world look like without borders, I asked like for who and for what. Yeah, that's kind of what I think about all that. I know you're probably looking for a more direct answer, but like I just wonder, you know, like the imbalance, how that is shedded, like how do we reshift human consciousness to even want and adapt to something as such, right? Like we're not even there yet. Like we're not even there at accepting like bringing in people that literally need to be here or will can't survive. Like Oh, Kevin.
I feel your frustration. Like,
I went from like super motivated
because to I just don't understand like why just like it's just the benefits of open borders is just to, you know, from what I see in an economic point, in a population growth point, in a even in a climate change point, like it's all beneficial. Like it's all beneficial. And I just don't understand why. And that's to your point. Like, I don't know, like what needs to be done to get there. Right. It's just frustrating. And for, can we just talk about that frustration from administration to administration as well? Like, it's just the same thing. And we're seeing that same thing even today with this whole thing at the border again, right?
Right. And that's important to like bring up, right? That we're seeing Border Patrol abuse their power. And they have been, like, this is not news,
right?
But like unshamefully abuse their power and fucking display like awful, awful things, right? And that being of whipping Black immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
People should be fucking furious. People should like you and I didn't even know how to like swallow that at the beginning of this, as we were both kind of like looking things up. Like, it's really difficult because you feel so powerless, right? And also frustration and anger and like, and you and I have the, you know, we have platforms to share that.
Right.
So I wonder how other people
navigate it too. Yeah, absolutely. Especially those people that have to like internalize it, right? Like, like you said, we have platforms and we talk about it, and in a way that's kind of healing, in my opinion. You know, because we get our opinions out there, right. and it's just frustrating all around. That's one of the hardest things that I've faced as an immigrant being is just how I can, you know, you lose, like, even when my mom tells me about some like great news, like, you know, but did you hear about the news, like with the Senate, like, oh, they said no to the budget bill, including immigration. And I was like, oh, wow. Like, what a surprise. And I hate to react like that.
Right.
I hate to react like that because it's just like, I'm so, is maybe numb to it at this point.
Yeah.
It's just like, I don't expect anything. And that, I don't know.
And that's a survival thing. I think a lot of people have to acknowledge that, you know, when we react that way, it's because we're in survival mode, and like, we're not used to things being on our side, unfortunately. That's why we build and create our own shit.
Yes. That's why we're out here.
Exactly.
Can we talk about the reparations? Remember when we mentioned reparations? That, you know, we definitely need just like physical therapy. Like, I mean, not physical therapy, but like, well, you know, why not physical therapy too? But just, like,
I need physical therapy.
That's what I'm saying. Like, why not physical? My knee's feeling a little no, but also just like mental health, you know, the stuff that we have to deal with. Definitely should be part of reparations for us, in my opinion. I totally agree.
I totally agree. And there's so many, you know, things around reparation that, it could go, you know, down the line from restorative justice, financial reparations, land reparations. There's so many things in that. And like, I don't even think there will be full justice even with reparations. So.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it just adds to the frustrating part, but you know what? That's why, like you said, that's why we're out here. We're building community. Yeah. So that's all the questions I had for you. And if you have anything else that you would like to say, this is your time.
Oh, awesome. First, I would like to say I'm so grateful to be in community with you as always. Like, literally, like, I don't think of this as work. You know, I feel like I'm hanging out with you and chilling and talking. So thank you so much for having us. You know, I would just say that, like, I'm an ever evolving person, and that means the work I do is ever evolving, and some people fuck with it, some people don't, and like, and that's okay. Like, I want to remind folks, like, you know, goodness comes for all, and like, if you put your heart and soul into things, like, there, like, that is noticeable. People see that and love that. A few things you can check out. Yeah, like check out our podcast, check out the episodes and amazing people we're recording with. I do a lot of speaking events and looking to like work with people across the nation at different organizations and businesses. So hit me up for all of that.
Yes, where can people follow your work and support you and just get in touch with you? I know you have your Patreon. That's a to go to is a great way to support your work and follow you as well.
Right. So you can find us at Shot of Truth Podcast on all of our platforms. Well, that's, you know, Instagram, Patreon, Facebook, Twitter, all of the above. I mostly use Instagram. So if you're going to message me there. And just like, you know, email info@shotoftruthpodcast.com. There's so many ways to get in touch with us. And we're still like at a good size where we're able to reach out to people and answer to almost everybody. So check us out, y'all.
Great. I love that. And tell us, I know you just dropped like a bunch of workshops and all your one-on-ones and all that. So tell me how that experience was, and also just what, if you're working on anything as well that we can look forward to.
So launching myself as that, it was really funny because I've been speaking for 8 years and finally launching myself. And it really became a thing of like moving past the self-doubt and knowing that I deserve to put myself out there and knowing that I have a community and a network that cares about me enough to share my work. Right.
Absolutely.
And so it was really like, there was so much there and so much like, again, emotional stuff behind it that I had to work through. Things that are coming up is we're doing our 1,000 follower giveaway where we partnered with 3 businesses that are amazing. Adelita's Apparel, Papelitos Lindos, and Luna Arsenal, which I'm so excited about. All of that stuff is coming out soon. And yeah, that's kind of what we're working on. I'm working on a few really cool episodes too. So one of them on loneliness, which is going to be really good.
Is that a solo episode? Or
no, it is not.
Are you going to do solo episodes?
I'm doing a few. I have one solo episode coming out. Like I said, I don't like to make it so much just about me. So.
Yeah. But you have so much insight, you know, I love hearing you talk as well. So I love all the people that you have on, but I also love hearing your input because I think that's important as well, you know.
Yeah. No, I've been asked to do a lot more solo episodes and start writing and publishing stuff. And so I'm kind of like, you know, reimagining and seeing like what else is out there for me. So,
hey, that's what it's all about, reinventing and just always staying up to date on stuff, you know.
And I couldn't do it without you, so thank you so much.
Hey, likewise. Are you kidding me? You've helped me out so much through the process. Even when I started the podcast, and you were always giving me like pointers, and I'm like, oh, I'm so grateful to like have someone with that experience already, you know, like that. Aww. thank you for doing that for myself as well, because you've helped me grow more than you might know. All right. Anything else that you got for us, Vicky?
All I gotta say is that we are produced by Pseudoscience, which is run by Caleb Nelson. I always gotta give him a shout out because this podcast exists because of him. So thank you so much, Caleb.
There you go, shout out. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed the podcast, please give it 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and a follow on Spotify. It helps me tremendously in order to bring more awareness and educational resources to our community. For more information and to stay up to date with what I'm doing, you can follow me on Instagram at LatinAmericaNeo. And if you need more information and resources, you can visit my website, LatinAmericaNeo.org. I'm Kevin Munoz. This has been the Leo Podcast, and I'll see you next time. This podcast is not investment advice, and I am not a qualified licensed investment advisor. All information on here, including any ideas, opinions, views, predictions, forecasts, commentaries, suggestions, or stock picks expressed or implied are for informational, entertainment, or educational purposes only and should not be construed as personal investment advice. Conduct your own due diligence or consult a licensed financial advisor or broker before making any and all investment decisions. Any investments, trades, speculations, or decisions made on the basis of any information found on this podcast, expressed or implied, are committed at your own risk, financial or otherwise.